Young entertainment professionals.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the fifth season of the Yep Podcast. I can't believe it. I'm Amelia. I've been working behind the scenes on the production of this podcast since its start in 2018. And we were so lucky to have Libby O pioneering us on these podcast adventures for years. I believe she did over 40 episodes. And she's been working real hard on her own variety show. I'm sure you're aware of the Libby O Show. It's fantastic. So she kind of guided me to help get this new season started. And I'm really looking forward to introducing you to our first guest. You may know her from TikTok, but I want to help you get to know her a little more personally. So I'm going to chat with Kiara Lewis about what it's like making new friends in Nashville, getting banned from TikTok, and being delusional. You'll see what I mean. Okay. Wow, this is so exciting.
Yeah.
I am thrilled to be sitting here in this gorgeous studio space at the new Fifth and Broadway building with popular content creator, comedian, author, actress, entrepreneur.
Yo, keep hyping me up. Why don't you? I'm here for it.
Kiara Lewis.
What's up?
Hi.
Hi. Feels good to be in my future home. We're going to say that.
I think I can see you living here. This is an amazing space.
I know. I gotta bust my ass to live here.
Yeah. This is so awesome. How are you doing today?
Emotion's been a roller coaster. Yeah. Right now, we're doing good. I feel like I'm at a neutral spot. So that's awesome.
Yeah. Well, just like your podcast, we're going to be keeping it real here today. So Hello. We can talk all about all that.
Okay.
I know. There's been a lot of ups and downs. I've been following you for a long time and have been lucky enough to know you personally now. And you're such a deep soul. I'm excited to be talking to you today on a microphone so some other people can kind of understand what a deep soul you are.
Yeah, this conversation's going to be good. I'm excited.
I know. I kind of want to start by talking about how you got involved in Yep.
Yeah.
And you had the opportunity to be our host at our Yep Rewind show that was at Daddy's Dogs last year.
Mm-hmm.
That was a crazy experience.
Insane. I remember coming to you that was like the same week I was releasing my book. So I was like trying.
Oh my gosh, that was a big week.
Yeah,
for
I was
you.
Trying not to think about it because I knew if I was thinking about it, of course, I would get like so nervous. So it wasn't until like I was getting ready and I was like, calm down. But once we got there, I remember I was freaking out. I was like, even though it was probably just like 30 people, if that or whatever. I was like,
we had a big crowd later on.
Probably more. Yeah. But I was freaking out. I was like, oh my gosh, I can't do this. And you were so nice. You was like, yes, you can. I was like, girl, I do not want to hear that right now. I cannot do this.
Your book that you released that week all about like yes you can manifest your dreams.
Literally it was about exploring your curiosity and like trying new things. So that's what gave me like the extra push. I was like, I have to do this.
Yeah.
But by the end of it, in the beginning I was nervous, but by the end of it I felt comfortable.
I know. I had no doubt that you could do it.
Yeah.
But I think that I offered like, it's okay, girl, like you can sit here for a few minutes, take a breath if you need, cry if you need, you know, like come on stage when you're ready and I can start the show for you if you need. And you were like, oh no, I got this.
Yeah, I was like, you're not starting.
No, you're not taking this away from me.
Yeah. I was like, it's my time to shine. Whether I'm scared or not, I'm doing it.
And you killed it. Yeah, it was so fun.
I was so glad I did it because it like reawakened a new part of me that even though I enjoy my content creation behind the screen, I'm like, I want to be in person with the people hearing the laugh, like being in front of the audience. That's just a whole new type of high for me. So, definitely more of that in the future.
So that was your first time hosting an event in front of your peers in this new city.
I was only here for what, like 2 months?
That is
doing
so
that?
Cool.
That's crazy, yeah.
It is amazing to see how fast things can happen for some people. I mean, I know it gets intimidating and you do have to be patient a lot of the time. You have to remind yourself that. But then there are some things that happen so quickly. It's
overnight.
Amazing.
Oh, and what so I'm cool. learning is like the whole Nashville is really Because when I was in Houston, my friends were mainly from college or whatever. But what I've learned in Nashville, everyone's like, it's about connections, about who you know. You need to be out and like meeting people. And then it wasn't until like I met you at Red Door.
Of course, that we made that connection.
I was like, oh, maybe I do need to start going out because that's where the connections really lie.
I bet you've made a lot of connections at Red Door since.
Ooh, yeah, some good.
Some great things happen there. And then sometimes you just got to take a break from going out or going, you know, to Red Door specifically because it can be too much Well, how has your initial impression of Nashville changed? What do you think of the community? Ooh. It's very different from other cities.
Oh, very different. So I'm from Houston. My parents are from Louisiana. So I feel like I've always been aware of the whole like Southern hospitality. But even my first week here, I think I went to a restaurant by myself. It was this couple sitting next to me, and they were just, like, asking me about my life. Uh-huh. And then next door to me, or next to me, it was, like, this older woman. She was like, yeah, if you ever want to come to church with me, like, you're more than welcome. And that's when I had, in that moment, I was like, damn, these people are, y'all are genuinely nice. Like, people say certain cities are nice, but y'all genuinely are nice to the point of, like, I literally was talking to a friend. I had to put up a guard because I was like, do they want something from me? Like, they know I'm this TikToker. Do they, I don't know, want whatever from me? Mm-hmm. But then after, like, hanging around and being around so many people, y'all just want to see each other win, which is crazy to me because you hear about other cities where it's competition. But in Nashville, y'all genuinely just want to cheer each other on with no expectations of, like, oh, you need to come to my show or you need to, like, post my music or whatever, which I love. And it's making me a whole lot nicer of a person.
Oh, I'm so glad you're experiencing that because I've been here for 11 years. So the city has changed a lot.
Yeah.
But that is how I've always seen Nashville. And Young Entertainment Professionals, for example, like our community group, that is what it's all about. It's all about peer-to-peer helping each other out, not expecting anything in return. But in the end, it usually does help your own career or your own personal life.
Yeah.
So I'm so glad that that's still how it is. You know, there have been so many changes in this city, but I'm glad that that's still like Nashville's core.
Oh, yeah. It's like an unintentional good karma.
Yes.
Because when you root on someone else, that's like coming back to you.
Yes.
When you least expect it.
Oh, my gosh. And as long as that city is this way, I will never leave.
Oh, yeah. I'm obsessed. I've already started thinking about it. I'm like, okay, in a couple of years, where do I want to get my house at? I can definitely see me like even starting a family, which is forever away, but I can see it happening in Nashville.
This is the place. I mean, Franklin is goals. That's end goals.
That's nice.
I know. I love it here, too. I feel the same way. That is so cool. Has it been easy making friends here?
We're definitely still working on that.
Yeah.
But I think that's more of a...
It's hard making friends as an adult in the first place,
that's the
right?
Thing,
because, no matter where you are.
Yeah. And so that's what I'm learning because, again, because I was raised in Houston, you've had like the childhood, all these different types of friends. So I'm learning that just like they say, a man isn't going to come knocking on your door. Your friends that you're praying for, whatever, isn't going to come knocking at your door. So for me personally, even though I'm this sociable person on my social media, I'm in a new city. So I'm having to like force myself to get out of my comfort zone. I need to go like, not everyone's going to come speak to you. You need to like make that initiative. And especially when it comes to like hanging out with girls, we're always like, oh, let's hang out. But now I'm learning to take that extra step. Hey, what days are you free? Do you want to hang out? Do you want
to
get lunch
type
thing? So it's like it's basically relearning as an adult, which is crazy. But
which everyone's kind of doing after this pandemic anyway, you know?
Yeah.
Getting back out there with friends, not just, you know, relationships.
Don't ask me about relationships. I don't know none about that.
I know. I feel you.
We in the streets.
I'm kidding. I love the way that your podcast had started with just talking about, like, the hot country guys.
Yeah.
And getting out in the streets. And now it's, like, transformed into speaking about your faith and speaking about your growth as an adult and the struggles that you've had.
Yeah.
And it all started with YouTube, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I knew I wanted to do content creation a few years ago when I was in college. And this was the time where Instagram stories didn't even exist.
Uh-huh.
So this was back in the day. All I was posting on was my Snapchat stories. And I remember I would get excited. Oh my God, 12 people watch my story.
Oh my gosh.
Then I got to 100 and I was like, and I would just like make rants. How I kind of do on social media, I would make rants. And people was like, even I remember fraternity guys coming up to me like, oh my God. That's what I always know I'm funny. When a guy comes up to me, I'm like, oh yeah, I'm the shit. So
you were in college during this time.
Yeah.
So you were able to, you were focusing on school, but really you were focusing on content creation while you were in school.
My parents thought I was focusing on school. I was partying and everything. I lived it up. But yeah,
as you should.
On the side, that's when I did the Snapchat stories. Then I moved to Instagram stories, just still doing it for fun.
Awesome.
And it got to the point where I literally wasn't even going to class. And
oh my
I
God.
Would just get excited to stay in my bed and make like Snapchat stories. So at that time, my friend told me, just do YouTube. I was like, you know what? One drunk night, I was like, you know what? I'm going to make a YouTube page. I had like 100 subscribers. And
wow.
I think after I got like a couple thousand, I told my parents, I was like, yeah, I think I'm a drop out. My dad was like, you're insane. Because I still wasn't making money, but I just knew I wanted to go about my dream like my way. I was like, you can't teach me how to be funny. You either got it or you don't. Like, I'm in school for no reason. So, but that was like probably 4 years ago.
Wow.
So the dream is just now starting to manifest. It took a whole lot of grinding and crying and not giving up. And we still got a long way to go. But I think I'm starting to see stuff happen. Yeah.
So when did you transition into TikTok?
Right
when the app was out and open?
So I think I was following Gary Vee, and in 2020, he was on a rampage about during the pandemic. He was like, y'all are crazy if you don't get on TikTok.
Oh.
And I was like, let me just see what this thing is about. And then I heard about the Charlie girl. She like blew up.
Yeah.
So I just spent the whole year just like watching people blow up and focusing on me with my therapy.
Uh-huh.
I was like, 2021, day one, I'm going in on it. And I started that 2 weeks into it. That's when I did the Sam Hunt video, The Countryman. It took off.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh, yeah, it's game time. So
wow.
I started it last year. It's been probably a year and 2 months. Yeah.
And you've been banned from TikTok a couple of times.
Oh, my. If that doesn't test you, that literally, that was the biggest test of last year. Like, and I had so many musicians. They were like, oh, it's okay. I was like, no. Think about it this way. Imagine if Spotify or Apple Music said you couldn't put out your stuff.
Oh, my gosh.
Then you're freaking out. You're like, I can't put out content. How am I going to get the exposure?
Absolutely.
Et cetera, et cetera. So
it
was a lot of, like, me fighting for my page back and forth, me crying, me eventually just having to give it to God and be like, hey, if it's meant for me to have this page, it'll come back. And at that time, I was just going to sit down and not do anything, but I decided to create another account. And I was like, we're going to keep on working. We're about to keep putting out videos until my other page comes back. And it eventually came back. So far, there's been no problems.
Woo!
Knock on wood. Yeah. So far, we've been doing pretty good. Yeah.
Did they ever explain why you were banned?
So they kept, I don't know if people were, what's it called?
Reporting
my videos. We don't know what happens.
For explicit content, you think? Or
they would say explicit. They would say bullying.
Oh,
and
really?
I don't know. Just going
against
the guidelines.
I think you're like hyping these country guys up, right?
So, and that's what they say. Also, I mean, TikTok is, we don't know who it's ran by. So if someone, now they're better at it. Normally when people used to report your videos, they automatically take it down.
Mm-hmm.
Now when it has to be multiple people, they'll go through it before they eventually take your video down.
Yeah.
So I think it was more of them learning because everyone got on TikTok last year, this year. So I think it was bigger than what they probably expected it.
Wow. Yeah. And how did you get it back? Did you have to find somebody who works at TikTok or did it just reappear one day?
So I found a few people, but it was mainly through, I would probably send about 10 to 20 emails a day for my page.
Gosh.
Yeah.
How did you make the time?
Oh, as soon as I would wake
you're
up,
writing
I'm like,
a book at the same time. You were working on all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, you're right. But I would find time to get my page back. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
It was pretty insane, but it eventually just came back one day when I was just like driving and I least expected it. So it's like, honestly, when you let go of your whatever you're wanting the universe for, that's when your blessing comes. And that's what happened with me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so do you have like a TikTok person that you can go to now? Or have they not really changed in that way yet?
I've met someone who works for it, but she works for like the verification side of it. So I don't have still that person. But right now, I feel like we're shifting my content. So I shouldn't be worried as much.
Do you have a manager or like a team that helps you with all this stuff?
No, it's me.
Really?
Yeah, it's all me.
Wow, that is awesome. Do you like it that way or are you not able to handle everything that's going on?
So far, I feel like it's pretty good. I'm handling it all, especially because like the brand deals are like, it's not a whole lot. I think once it really takes off, then I wouldn't be able to handle it. But also my roommate, she works on the opposite side. So I do the
amazing
front of content creation and my roommate, she she manages, quote unquote, TikTokers. Okay. So she does the behind the scenes. So when I have a contract, I'm like, hey, review this for me. What do we need to change? What should I tell them?
Wow.
For my quote or whatever. So she helps me with that. So it's kind of good that we are roommates. Nice. It's a blessing, yeah.
Oh, that's amazing.
Shout out to you, Coral.
What a great friend.
Yeah, she's a real.
Yeah, it's just helping each other out, you know?
Hello.
That's so great.
If you're a music industry professional with a focus and passion for country music, now's the time to join the Academy of Country Music. The ACM membership base is made up of the top leaders in the country music industry with a legacy that stretches nearly 60 years. ACM membership applications are open through October 14th. Accepted members have the chance to shape country music history through the ACM awards process, as well as many other benefits. Don't wait, apply today at acmcountry.com/membership. That's acmcountry.com/membership.
This podcast is brought to you by Innovo Management. Through music marketing services, their artist-first approach is here to help make the most out of your next release. Since 2014, Innovo has implemented marketing strategies for debut projects all the way to platinum artists. Contact them today to discuss your goals and get a custom plan made by a dedicated project manager. Mention this podcast in your email to projects@innovomanagement.com and get 15% off your next campaign. Thanks, Innovo.
Well, are there any like TikTok influencers that inspire you, or do you have, are there people that you follow on TikTok that you just like love and get inspired by?
Yeah. Well, so I guess he is kind of a TikToker, but my OG person that like I'm praying to God I meet this year is Ricky Thompson. So he's been doing content creation since Vine. So
wow,
he's like,
love
he's
it.
An OG, but it's inspiring to me because he's a black guy or a black gay guy. But now he's like on the face of these different magazines. He models. He does like, it just inspires me because he was like, you know what? I don't want to just be the funny guy. He has his own podcast. He has his own TV show with Snapchat, him and his best friend.
Oh, wow.
But it inspires me because like you started off social media and now yesterday he was at the Oscars.
Oh, wow.
Like, yeah, he's doing it. And it's just my like motivation because he's always like, I want to be a star. I want to be a star. And I'm like, bro, you have all these blessings and you started from just like an app like I'm doing. So it's just a reminder that just trust the process because he's been doing it for like 10 years.
Wow. That is amazing.
Yeah.
Well, you're on that level now.
We're
Lil Nas
there.
X mentioned you in his iHeartRadio Awards speech.
Insane. I was not expecting it.
You weren't even watching it.
At all.
I didn't. So honestly, all of a sudden your phone was blowing up.
Yeah. Honestly, didn't know it was going on because it was right after my cousin passed. So I was doing like a whole no social media for a few days just to like just to get my head together. Mm-hmm. And then something told me, I always feel like it's the universe, so something told me, download TikTok again. Because I normally, if I want to be off social media, I'll just delete the app.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I can get it right back. So I re-downloaded it and then everyone was commenting Lil Nas X and I was like, what does he have to do with me? Like, this is a joke.
Yeah.
And then it said, he mentioned me in his speech, and when I tell you my jaw dropped, I was like, not me. So I go to watch the video and he was like, it's this girl on TikTok. She was talking about Be Delusional.
Oh my gosh.
I was just in disbelief because I was like, it just, I still to this day when I post, I always think it's just like friends, family. You don't know who's watching it.
Yeah.
And that was just another confirmation of you do not know who's watching your videos and who you're inspiring. Like this man made a speech on national TV.
And what exactly did he say?
Basically, what I said in my video of he said if he wasn't delusional, he wouldn't have been the successful star that he is. If he wasn't delusional at the height of his career, when he came out saying he was gay, he wouldn't have like been where he is. Basically, he's saying just be delusional, pursue your dream, and with work, it can come to fruition. Which
and
is
so he was saying that you inspired him. He was just scrolling on his For You page or somebody sent him your video and he felt like mentioning that to the world
crazy.
On the instant that he was on a microphone on the iHeartRadio Awards. That is so incredible.
Yeah.
And you had just posted or you had been praying on your own for the attention of Hollywood. Is that what you were talking about?
Yeah.
You're trying to manifest, like, there's something bigger that I'm looking for. Yeah. And it's out there. And Lil Nas X was what came after that.
Yeah. So it's crazy because when I talk to, like, my boy Jesus, I be having a little attitude. But or it's more of a, I just know exactly what I want. Mm-hmm. So sometimes I got to be real. So it's like, I started with the country streets. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I love it. I'm keep doing my thing here. But I'm like, I know I'm meant to be a star. It's crazy. So I'm like, I need the world's attention. And I mean, how do you get the world's attention? You need Hollywood's attention. So I just prayed for that. And I just went about my day. And I probably would say not even 2 weeks later, the Lil Nas X thing happens. And it's crazy because I always feel like everything ties together. It's crazy because he started with the country streets. And then now look at him. Yeah. So when that happened, my brain started going crazy. I'm like, oh my God, this is literally the universe sending me signs because of all celebrities, why would they choose Lil Nas X?
Yeah.
Country streets, doing his thing. So it was a sign.
Wow. Yeah. That is incredible. And this was right after your cousin had passed. I was so sorry to hear you talking about that. But I think that it's amazing how vulnerable you're open to being on your platform and how honest. And then this, and I can't imagine how hard that was to go through it. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you want to talk any about your cousin.
Oh, we definitely can. I feel like I am still going through
it. Yeah, you are.
I think I'm definitely still in shock of it. The first few days it hit me. Mm-hmm. But it's
that's
more
not
of
something
a,
that you just pass.
Yeah. Especially because, I don't know, it's just more of a inspiration to me in the sense that, I don't know, I like on my page, I like to preach about like pursuing your dream, whatever it is. And it sucks when people like her pass away and it's like, damn, you didn't even get to pursue her dream. And even though I love my family, I'm like, it's just a reminder to me that I have to go after this because there's so many people who let the world tell them you're too old, you can't do X, Y, and Z. And they truly believe, okay, I'm just going to work a 9-to-5 until I'm 50 years old, retire, and then hopefully I'll have energy to travel and live my life. And my biggest preaching thing of my biggest advocate now of the matter is go after your shit. The universe is going to catch you. Whatever higher power you believe in, it's going to catch you. They didn't give you this dream, this desire just to say, oh, it's not possible or ha, ha, it's a dream. They're giving you that desire because it's fucking possible. And so to see my cousin not pursue her dream and to let like drugs and alcohol be her like God or whatever, it sucks that I lost her. Mm-hmm. But I know this is the universe waking me up like, here, you can't fucking bullshit no more.
Wow.
Even when I thought about, okay, maybe I can like go back to alcohol or this. No, that was my wake-up call. Bitch, I don't need that. I need to...
Yeah.
I can... If I was able to live my youth without, like, drugs and alcohol, I can do the same damn thing. I can inspire a world and not depend on alcohol. I can actually be one of the first ones that's starting from the bottom, going all the way up without that and just being like, hey, it's me and my boy Jesus. We going after this dream.
Yeah, that is amazing. I mean, you moved to a drinking town and then got sober.
Insane. And if you would have asked me this a year ago, that's how, I don't know, my life is crazy because even if you would have asked me about the country streets, I would have never been like, oh, country music? Never.
Yeah.
And the same thing with drinking. If you would have told me that a year ago, I'm like, yeah, y'all talking about another Kira, not me. But it just got to the point of like, I always tell people, you don't change until you're fed up. Because I have people in my DMs, they're like, well, how did you get there? I'm like, I was in a sorority. There's a lot of times you would wake up and say, I'm done drinking, and you go right back to it. So I'm like, this didn't happen like a... I told myself I was done drinking probably 100 times, but this was the point where I was fed up of like, I will wake up, I was super anxious, and like people would tell me I would say certain things and they know it's not my heart.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to get to the point of like, well, okay, I just want to drink this amount of this type of alcohol, or I would only drink a little bit. I was like, just cut it out, Kiara. Mm-hmm. So I woke up that day and I was like, you know what, I'm done. I didn't make a pack of like, okay, I'm going to do this forever or whatever. I was just like, you know what, I'm done for this moment. And then 21 days into it, I was like, you know what, I think I can go a whole year. Or not even that. I was like, I want to see what I am capable of achieving just a year without any drinking.
Wow.
So that's like the new, that's like
that's
my
the
new,
goal.
That's my new motive. Yeah. So it's not so much of like, oh, drinking is bad, whatever. Yeah. I really don't care what people do. I just want to, I just want to
challenge
see.
Yourself.
Yeah. That's what it is. It's like a big challenge of let's see what you're capable of doing in a year.
I love that. Yeah. I think that's great. Yeah. Is it a struggle or does it get easier? The social scene with the, you know, everyone's got free alcohol at these events.
Yeah.
Or,
and especially,
you know, people are willing to buy your drinks, I'm sure, when you're going out. And
yeah. So it's crazy because when I made that pack, a week later, I was flown out to Montana for a Jordan Davis thing.
Yes.
Everything was free. I literally had a glass of wine in my hand. They were like, just grab it. I had it in my hand. I was like, oh, I can't do this.
Oh my gosh, what a challenge.
Yeah. So that was, that was day seven for me.
Oh my gosh.
I don't even think it was probably a week. So
you're ready to throw it away.
Yeah. So once I was able to complete that week of free alcohol, free food for an entire weekend.
Wow.
And I passed them, that's when I was like, oh, I could do this. Because I love free stuff.
So if I
a free drink, Old Kiara, I would guzzle it. So
absolutely.
Once I did that, I was like, okay, I can do it. But in the beginning, it was easy, but I was still like going out every single day.
Yeah.
So, and then it wasn't harder of the temptation.
Yeah.
But it was more of it started to get boring to me because I would just like sit around, watch other people drink for hours. So it just made me have to like find new things that like pleases me. So it's not so much of like it's uncomfortable, but as long as I'm not around it as much. Mm-hmm. Like now I'll probably go out probably once a week, if that.
Yeah.
Like last weekend I didn't even like go out. So I keep it to a minimum so I'm not around it to be tempted of it.
Yeah.
And try to find like other things to do.
I completely understand. Yeah. I gave up alcohol for Lent, so I have 40 days.
You didn't tell me that.
We hanging
together.
That's so funny. Well, I also had done dry January. So like this year I've really only had like maybe 10 days that I've had a glass of wine. And that's very different for me too. But I kind of just like, I'm turning 30 and wanted to like challenge myself before I cross that new decade. But it hasn't, you know, been that hard. I'm actually really enjoying it. I feel really good. And I am looking forward to having a nice glass of wine on Easter, you know, as like a celebration. But you don't really need it to go out. And it kind of felt like in the past that it was necessary for this social scene.
Yeah.
But I want people to know who like haven't figured that out yet, that it's not necessary.
Oh, it's not. But it's also, it's a mindset thing. So once you tell yourself, or once you're able to complete it one or two times, you'll start to see how, I wouldn't say easy it is, but how unnecessary it is. Like, I'm still able to talk to people, even if they're like drunk or whatever. And then afterwards I go home and I'm like, woohoo, I'm gonna wake up and I know I can like make videos or whatever. And I feel like I'm gonna have like a hangover and can't do anything but stay in bed.
Yeah.
So yeah.
That is awesome. Do you have any advice for somebody who like hasn't been able to really challenge themselves in that way yet, but has been considering maybe quitting for a time period?
I would say you have to, I hate for it to sound corny, but you have to remind yourself of the why. So every time I am tempted of like, oh, you know what? So in the back of my head, basically there's this thing of, I never say I can't drink, or I try not to say I can't drink alcohol, because I know I can genuinely have alcohol whenever I choose to, but I'm choosing not to.
Yeah.
So then of the moment of like my friends are going to brunch and I'm like, oh, you know what? I can't just have a mimosa. It's not going to kill me. Then I remind myself of the why. Okay, Kiara, you stopped drinking because you didn't know, you would probably say out of pocket things sometimes, or you would say that you're going to make videos or complete work the next day, but you'll be hungover and you'll just sit on your ass. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't work out as much. You was always bloated.
Yes.
You hate it. Like, once you go through that list of it, I'm telling you, once you go through the list of it after you feel tempted, you're like, you know what? Never mind. I don't need it. So for me, I was like, even the fear of me possibly drinking one day, I'm like, damn, even though there's good times when I am drinking, there's a lot of other times where I'm a bitch and I'm like mean to people and I'm like fucking sassy. So I'm like, I don't want people to see that and I don't want to become that. So I was like, I'd rather just not. I'd rather just force myself to be uncomfortable and learn how to communicate without it. And I'm still learning. It's still tough, but hey, that's what fucking life is about.
I love that.
Yeah.
And you talk about your faith a lot. Does your faith motivate you each day to continue this dream?
Oh, definitely. Without it, I don't know. Without it, I don't even know if I'll be alive. No, not even kidding. It's been a hard life. But it definitely motivates me. That's why I like to tell people, even if I'm talking about the higher power, I just say whatever you believe in. Because my parents were super Christians. And I'm like basically the opposite, not even a Christian. But I never like to force something on somebody. Mm-hmm. But all I say is like, this life is going to be pretty tough.
Yeah.
So it's good to have faith or belief in some type of non-existent power. So when your days are hard, you can be like, okay, I know Allah got me. I know Jesus got me. I know the universe got me. That's why I like to depend on it.
Mm-hmm.
And basically in the times where things are going good, I like to give myself praise, but also give something else praise.
Yes.
Because you feel like you're like, I don't know, you're pushing that energy out. And of course, the world is a boomerang, so you'll receive it again. So faith has played a big part. And yeah, to anybody, just find something that resonates with you. Because I know people, they be on my ass and they're like, well, you talk about Jesus, then you talk about the universe. And I'm like, I would rather have more power on my side than none or just one. So it's like, I was raised Christian, but now I'm into manifestation. So it's like, I like to me personally, I'm just combining everything that resonates with me.
That's cool. So just, tell us more about your upbringing then.
Yeah. My upbringing was, so my mom was raised in her Baptist church.
Wow.
And it was like majority of like the family. And then my parents, of course, they raised us up Baptist, then non-denominational. We went to Lakewood for a while. And then we went to Second Baptist.
Wow.
And just being raised up like that, I definitely enjoyed it. But we was in church a lot. We volunteered in church. We went to church. We was in church at least 3 to 4 times a week. So more than a normal person. Yeah. So once I got in college, I stopped going as often. I had to go in the beginning because my parents made a bet with me or a deal with me. They were like, if we're going to pay for your phone bill, you have to go to church. So I did that for a while.
Bribes.
Yeah. And then after a while, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to pay for my own stuff. And then after a while, it was just no connection there in the sense of, I was like, I would go to church. Okay, I hear what the pastor said. But when it came to me reading my Bible, that felt like another religion to me. Like, I love my boy Jesus, but I was like, I do not understand what is being said in this Bible. Unless, so it got to the point of, that was probably 2019. I was like, okay, whatever. I was just lost at that time, just doing whatever. 2020 came, and I was like just super depressed before the pandemic.
Oh, wow.
So when the pandemic came, I was stuck in the house, and I was like, either I'm not about to keep on living or a lot of shit has to change with me.
Wow.
And so that's when I think I was on Instagram and a lot of celebrities were talking about things that they were doing. And my favorite rapper, Big Sean, he was talking about or suggesting a lot of books that he read. And a book that he read was called Accent Is Given. I was like, oof. The name of that just resonates with me. I just love it. Accent Is Given. So I ordered the book and I started reading it and instantly as I was reading it, my vibration started to increase. I started to feel better. I started to like carry my every single page. It was like so much power. So I was like, well, what is this Abraham Hicks? So I went to TikTok and that's when literally my entire feed, manifestation. And of course, I just went through a hole of it.
Yeah.
And I mean, a year and a half later, here I freaking am manifesting everything.
So it transformed you.
It was a big transformation from believing in like going to church and like the Bible to like where I am now. But that's why I feel like I still, because I was raised Christian, of course I still have like the Jesus belief within me.
Yeah.
But what resonates and what I'm able to learn and understand and apply to my life is manifestation.
Amazing.
Like just knowing that my thoughts, I can create what I want through action and alignment. That just, I don't know why, it just hits different for me. So that's why I say people just find whatever resonates with you.
Of course.
Even if it's not the same as your parents or your friends. Like
absolutely.
My friends, my roommates are all, my both of them go to church. And I'm the only one that's like, da 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 da, manifest. Yeah. But then after a while, I start hearing them saying, oh, I manifested this. And I'm like, yeah, it's rubbing
you're
off
inspiring
on
inspiring them too.
Yeah.
Wow, that's awesome. Do you turn back to that book like frequently?
Oh, yeah. So Abraham Hicks, they have, it's like, they're a law of attraction teacher.
Okay.
So they have multiple books. I'm actually reading another one called right now that's called The Power of Emotions. And that's actually helping me out right now with the grieving of my cousin. But they have a podcast. Wow. They have YouTube books. I listened to the podcast for a year straight every single day. Even if I was hungover, I made sure I listened to it. Still to this day, they have new episodes. I listen to that. So it's like I'm constantly learning and then also applying it.
So then is that what inspired you to write your own books?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah,
and you've written two so far.
Written two, and we're working on, I just started today, we're working on the third one.
Oh, today?
One. Yeah.
What a big day.
Literally. Well, today was just like the outlining of what I want to talk about because of the whole be delusional with the rust going on right now.
Oh my gosh.
So I was inspired to, I feel I have one more book in me. I keep saying I'm going to wait till it's time for me to like actually publish a book, but I think I have a little bit more to say.
Well, you wrote those first two so quickly.
So quickly.
I mean, how long did that take, really?
So it was the course of a couple of, I would say like 1 or 2 months.
That's incredible.
Manifestation came to me like that day. I just spent I was like doing something and it just like all was written like through a higher power through me. And then the other one, what was it called? Girl, I be forgetting the name of my books.
the that's okay. We got to promote that. We'll put links out.
Discovering joy in the mundane.
Yes.
That took a little while because I was talking about my past, but I also wanted to include prompts and stuff that will help other people. So that took a little bit longer. But I definitely enjoyed the process. But this third one, I don't want to rush it.
Mm-hmm.
But I still want to get it out in a good amount of time. But I really just want to enjoy it. And I want it to be, like, easy. Like,
wow.
If I'm just, like, here with you and I just get an idea, just write it down and then go about my day. I like those type of creations.
What made you realize that you could publish a book on your own? Because I feel like that might be holding people back and be a reason why people have not written their own books, because they don't know how to publish them on their own. And it's not like we live in a town where there are book publishers that you can meet or just go to.
Well, so, I mean, this is a quote my daddy always told me that I still live by. Don't be dumb with your smartphone.
Don't be dumb with your smartphone.
Yeah, because you literally, in the palm of your hands, you have every type of information. And so for me, when it came to writing this book, I kept saying, oh, when I get older, my goal is to have, like, a New York Times bestseller. And then when I was driving here from Houston, the idea was like, well, why not do it now? And I was like, I don't know. I don't have an idea. The concept came to me. So for anybody that's, like, considering it, for one, you have a smartphone. And for two, it's a way, especially if you're doing ebook. Now, if you're doing physical copies, I'm sure it might be a little bit more different. Mm-hmm. But at least the ebook process, it's literally you creating a PDF. You creating a cover.
Wow.
It's a PDF.
So you're self-published.
Self-published, yeah.
And is it just on Amazon?
No, so it's through my website.
It's through your own website. Yeah. How did you figure that out?
Google, baby.
Man, that is really impressive, sincerely.
Yeah.
I got to start researching that. That is so cool, Kiara.
So thank you. But that's what I'm doing with that. And then, like, I was looking for graphic designers for merch.
Okay.
And then the idea came to me of, like, why don't you just create it on your own? So I'm about to do this. I'm about to do the entire merch process, graphic design and everything.
I love that.
By myself.
That is so fun.
It's empowering to do it by yourself.
Yes. Yeah. And then the same with your own podcast. You just started that on your own, too. And you do that by yourself.
By myself.
You don't have an audio engineer like Ryan, like I've got here.
Yeah.
You don't have a producer. You do it all on Anchor.
Yeah.
And you upload it yourself. You're handling the whole thing.
I film it. I edit it. Yeah. It's pretty.
You film it, too.
Or no, not film it. I mean, voice filming. Yeah.
I wasn't sure if you were also, doing visual, making content. And okay. Because your podcast is really cool.
Oh, thank you.
It is very raw.
Yeah. I like to keep it like that.
I mean, and you have not lost what you can talk about. Like, you are always coming up.
My mind is always going crazy. Yeah.
I loved your podcast. I really enjoyed listening to it. I listened to the very first episode also. That one's really fun.
Yeah.
Wait. Your first episode had a really fun name. It was Fuck Society Standards.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that was right when I was doing the country streets. And I was like, I need something different. I want to, like, stand out. So I had that name for a season. And then afterwards, I was like, okay, well, I want people to, like, sponsor my video. I want to eventually get brand deals. So I was like, maybe we don't do the Fuck Society. Let's do something. So I was like, we can just keep it, even though it's kind of corny, keeping it real with Kiara. It still correlates with, like, my podcast. So.
Well, I loved to hear you talk about that. You talked about beauty standards and industry standards and social standards. It was really interesting, and it's very relatable.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. I think you did a good job with that. Are there any standards in our society or in our industry here in Nashville that appear dangerous to you or still need change?
I guess we'll break it into two parts.
Oh, yeah.
In society?
Yes.
In society, it's basically what I stand for. I don't know. I just feel like everyone, we trust society and believe, like, we have these imaginative rules put on us. Whether it's like, I have a friend and she's like, oh my God, I'm 23. My other friends are married. I need to, like, buy a house. And I'm like, we just get taught these BS rules and we choose to believe it and accept it and apply it to our lives. So my whole thing of the matter is, like, honestly, do what the fuck you want to do. That's why I have my podcast. That's why I just talk about random shit, whatever I believe in, on, like, social media, because we have so many people that's trying to do the highlight rule, trying to make people comfortable. No, fuck that.
Trying to fit in a box.
Yeah. And that's the most suffocating thing you can do. And that's what drains your creativity and it drains your joy. When you try to, I've tried to put myself on a label of, I'm just a country streets girl, I only do this. Now I'm just like, here, whatever the fuck you want to talk about today, let's do it. Whether it's a video, whatever you want to talk about, let's do it. When you take yourself out of the box and start to be yourself, woo, that's where the power lies. And that's when you realize, everyone's always talking about how do you become confident. That's how you become confident, by believing in yourself and not giving a fuck. And I know people say it's so hard. It's not really hard because people don't think about you the way you think they do. Like if I was to replay my day, I probably thought about other people 1% of the day. The rest of it, I'm worried about my bills. I'm worried about this video. You're worried about so much. So I tell people, apply that same analogy to your life. How much throughout your day did you think about other people? Not a lot. Vice versa.
Love it.
Yeah.
Wow. That is so great.
But, and then with the industry of Nashville.
Well, that's a tough one.
Isn't it? It really is tough. So wait, ask the question one more time while I think.
All right. So I think that the question is, what standards in our industry here in Nashville need change? What industry standards have we put on artists or put on content creators here in our small society, peer-to-peer?
Oh, I got it. I don't even know why I need to think about it. I said this, actually, was funny. When I went to the Jordan Davis thing, they
had... he is so great, by the way. Coolest look.
But they had, like, label people there, and I wasn't going to say anything, and I was like, you know what? Fuck this. I'm going to speak. But I feel like the country music people, I don't know why. Maybe it's just because I'm on the outside. They rely so much on the freaking radio, and I'd be trying to get them to like understand TikTok, especially social media in general is where it's at, but TikTok is running the fucking game. Like, they're gonna make their own music label, whatever, in the future, but if you don't see that you're able to blow up from just posting a 10-30 second video, it just blows my mind, because they continue to rely on the radio, and I'm like, I don't, me personally and my friends I know, we do not listen to radio. We put it on Spotify, put it on whatever app we have, and we just go about our day. So relying on the radio, which, in my opinion, is like the newspaper and digital. Everyone, you kept, oh, no, we don't want to go digital. That's BS. Newspaper did. You got about probably a few of them.
Yeah.
Same thing with radio. No offense. That's my biggest thing with country music.
Magazines.
Because I'm like the pop, the rap, everybody. They're on to the new wave of, they got their artists. Hey, TikTok it up.
Totally.
Go to some TikTok creation houses and go collab with them.
Yeah.
Whereas the country, we're still like, oh, the radio, we need to get the number one. I mean, that's cool. I'm sure it puts money in your pocket, but you got to get to where the kids are at.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, you can't be the older adult that's going against the grain. The kids are what's going to run it. And if the kids are on TikTok, join them. Don't be against them.
Totally.
Yeah.
This podcast is also sponsored by Edge Hill Music Publishing, a publishing company based out of Nashville and LA. Founded by the owners of Big Plan Holdings, a creative investment company, Edge Hill is home to Rob Williford, CJ Solar, Dave Vila, Spencer Rabin, and more. Visit edgehillmusicpublishing.com for more information. This podcast is supported by Creative Nation, a music company in Nashville that does publishing, artist development, management, and records. Founded by Grammy-winning songwriter and producer Luke Laird and Billboard power player Beth Laird, Creative Nation is home to Lori McKenna, Barry Dean, Steve Mogler, Casey Brown, Cassie Ashton, Jonathan Hutcherson, Travis Wood, and Derek Bear. With over 60 radio singles since its opening, 20 of which have reached number one, this company relies on passion, innovation, and inspiration to make the boldest moves in music entertainment. Visit creativenationmusic.com to learn more.
Do you remember when I first met you and one of the first questions I asked you
was,
are the record labels paying you to move here?
Oh my gosh. Actually, I can't even lie. I don't remember that. I was wrong.
You don't? No, really. I mean, I recognized you from TikTok. And
I
just wanted
that.
To say, like, oh my God, you are so funny.
Yeah.
Are you living here? Did a record label finally think,
now
we've got to move this girl to Nashville and pay her to do content for our artist? Because that's what I thought. I figured, like, you know, you've done all this awesome content promoting guys like Riley Green, who, you know, aren't the biggest names in country music yet, but are up and coming. They're getting there. And your content obviously is helping young people who had never heard of Riley Green. Look up his Instagram, see what he looks like,
change
what
his name music on Google. Sounds like.
Changed his name to Riley Jamal on Google.
That's crazy.
And people are at his shows with signs that say Riley Jamal. Like, you coined all that. So my first thought was, surely a record label's A&R team or marketing team or promotions team thought, we've got to get this TikTok girl to Nashville. Let's find her an apartment, move her out here, and we'll pay her to make content for these artists.
Yeah.
And that's not at all what happened. No, that's, I can't believe it.
That's not what, I mean, but that goes with the radio. So now they're starting to work with like a budget. At first they didn't, but I also think it was more of a, me moving here had to be a personal thing. Because if they would have done it, I probably would have taken it up. But
maybe it wouldn't have been a long term.
Yeah, this was more of an act of like stepping out or like jumping for your dream in a sense.
Good
and me
for you.
Having to like do this was showing, I feel like, God, like, okay, she is serious about it. Because I was going to a town where I didn't know anyone.
Yeah.
There wasn't a guarantee and like a pay or anything, but I knew, I just had this feeling. I was like, if you go to the city, the country streets of where you're like reacting to, there has to be opportunities. And the opportunities just started to like unravel. Like meeting Riley Jamal, meeting all these different artists. They started to come. But I just feel like with your dream or just anything in life, sometimes you just have to take the blind step of faith and trust that you'll like get supported. And I feel like, so far I've been supported. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, well, with that comes criticism.
Oh, yeah.
So do the comments and the critics that you are, you know, blowing up your phone every day, does that get overwhelming? Or how do you take that on?
I've actually gotten that question before, and it's so crazy to me because I really rarely get criticism.
Wow.
Yeah, it's very rare. But I mean, when I do, there has been times where I like have a lot. But what I remind myself is it really doesn't affect me, but it's more of the fact that I always remind myself of, think about when you having like the shittiest, the worst day in the world.
Yeah.
You watch a video, you listen to a song or watch a movie that you hate. What typically happens? Oh, this shit sucks. You turn it off.
Yeah.
But just think about how low in the trenches you got to be to comment some mean ass stuff on somebody's video, song, whatever it is. So that's my reminder of like, girl, I don't care how hard my life has gotten. I've never gotten that low. So it's more of the, to me, it's just like a, it's just a reflection in the mirror. So I've gotten comments where people are like, oh my God, you're so loud or this. And I'm like, girl, I'm excited. Hell yeah, I'm gonna be loud. What you think? I'm about to be on here like, oh, Lil Nas X just posted me. I just met this lady. No, I'm about to scream. I'm about to act a fool. And like my thing of the matter is, if you don't like it, it's TikTok. Scroll to the next, and literally 0.5 seconds, you're gonna see another video that you may enjoy. So instead of commenting and then hoping I'm gonna respond, because I'm not gonna give you the time of day, just move on. So when I see criticism, I'm just like, oh, whatever. It really isn't that big of a deal. I used to block the people. Now I'm like, hey, you just gave me a view. You gave me a comment.
Yeah.
It's going to boost me up in the algorithm. So keep doing your thing.
That is a great way to think of it.
Yeah, that's my reminder. I'm like, your life just has to, which I hate. I want people's life to get better. But spewing out negativity isn't going to make your life better.
Yeah.
No.
Love it.
Facts.
Okay, so who are your top three countrymen at this moment?
Oh, my gosh. Let me think. We got to switch it up.
Yeah. You've had the opportunity to meet some pretty cool people.
Yeah. I was going to say one name, but
it's okay. You can say any names you want to say.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, I'll say the ones I want to meet.
Yes.
Because I feel like I do say the ones. I say other ones, but I've already met them. So the number one I want to meet is Morgan Wallen. I'm going to meet my man. I do not care.
I can't believe you haven't yet.
Right? I mean, I know why. I told y'all I'd be running my mouth too much. I'm working on it. But, okay, number one is Morgan. Number two, I just really have this crush. Every time he makes a video, it just makes me smile. Brett Eldridge.
Oh, what a great artist.
I just have to meet him. Like, he just seems so genuine.
Yeah.
And just, I don't know, I feel like we can go on a nice hike.
Yeah.
Just staring into each other's eyes.
That just sounds
have
so
a
lovely.
Great day. Brett is he's really at the top of my list. And number three, I'm trying to think. Because I met my Riley Jamal, I met Chase.
Yeah.
That's who I was wanting to. Girl, you get these countrymen. Who else? Who else in these country streets?
I mean, you talk a lot about Kip Moore.
I've met
and Michael Ray.
But oh, Michael Ray.
You haven't met Michael Ray
yet. I haven't met Michael Ray. Oh, and we've been in the same city.
What a gem of a human.
Really?
Yes. I mean, this was so many years ago, but I interned at Warner Music Nashville in the A&R department, and he had just been signed, and he asked me to burn a CD for him, just a copy of, like, the demos that he was listening to. And as an intern, all I did was burn CDs. Yeah. He wrote me a thank you note for burning a CD for him when I was just a, like, junior in college, just an intern. I still have the thank you note. I think it's so
That's
someone put the time to do that. So he and I see him around town, and he still is
in Nashville.
Yeah,
I have not seen him.
Oh, he's out. He's fun. He's
my
still
man
hiding
a gem. From me. Yeah, I'm gonna have to find him. I have not seen him.
Well, okay. So of those that you have met,
okay,
did your opinion change on any of them after you met them?
Not in a bad way, but I will say once typically I meet an artist, I'm like, my infatuation fades.
Yeah, that's...
But I will say the only one who, it was the opposite. So I knew about Kip... Well, not, I didn't know about Kip Moore. Kip Moore was one of the first ones I met. And so I, like, only heard his music. I was still new to country, so I didn't know really too much about him. But meeting him and talking to him, still to this day, I'm obsessed. I'm like, I just have to meet this man and see him, like... He was just so genuine. It was just like very, very chill, easy.
Down to earth guy, huh?
Very down to earth. The rest of them were cool. They were definitely cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, Kip Moore, something about him.
Yeah.
If you listen to this, baby, hit my line. I'm kidding.
That is so cute. Yes. Kip Moore, if you're listening to this, Kiara Lewis on TikTok.
Oh, DM's open. So are the legs. I'm kidding.
I love when you say stuff like that, because that is not your personality at all. Yeah. A lot of what you do is satire.
Yeah.
And you're a comedian. You're totally joking most of the time. Do some people take you too seriously?
So it's crazy. This guy that's my friend, the first time I met him, he actually thought my name was something else. But he told me, once he got to know me, he was like, oh my gosh. So you're, even though I am like my videos, he was like, because I told him, I was like, yeah, I get, you know how I had a crush on a guy, and I was like, I get so uncomfortable with guys. He was like, oh, in your videos, I thought you were so serious. I was like, hell no. So I think a lot of people that don't know me, they think I am serious.
Yeah.
Which to a certain degree I am.
You are a little bit.
I am. But I'm like, when it comes time to put into action, I'm running from the sheets. Hell no.
That's hilarious. Yeah. You're saying what you're thinking.
I'm saying what I'm thinking.
But it might not be what you actually are pursuing.
Yeah.
I mean,
if the opportunity came, who knows?
I think it's so funny. I mean, you come up with some really funny puns.
It's
insane. Yeah.
When you
opened for, or when you hosted our Yep event and you introduced Brandon Lay.
What did I say?
I mean, I think it had something with lay me down, Brandon Lay. I mean, I just thought it was hilarious.
I don't know how I'll come up with it, but I just love it.
I think it's really cute because it's like no one else, they're never getting introduced like that on stage, you know? And he got a laugh out of it. It's not like his wife was in the crowd wanting to, you know, brawl with you afterwards. Yeah. You know, you're.
But that's what my thing with.
You're joking.
Yeah, that's my thing with the videos, because also. I guess that's one of the comments or hate I get, where people are like, if the roles were reversed. And I'm like, hell yeah, if the roles were reversed, it'll probably be wrong. But you have to think about it. As a woman, we get compliments left and right. As a guy, they don't get as many compliments, I don't think. Or if they do, it's just like, oh, you look good, you're hot, da-da-da.
Yeah.
But I'm like, to actually come up with, like, jokes to play off of their, like, the pictures, what they're wearing or whatever. I'm sure I just know they appreciate it, because it's not... I don't know, because it's a rare thing for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're getting love back from them.
Yeah. They love it.
Yeah.
They love it.
That is so funny. Okay, well, you just do so much. I don't know even where to go when it comes to, like, promoting what you've got coming next.
Jeez.
I mean, are you focusing on the podcast, and do you have, like, dream podcasts that you're wanting to work on, dream people that you're wanting to interview, or... are you working more on your writing and comedy? What are you pursuing right now?
I definitely want to improve my delivery for comedy, but I'm also just going with the flow of things, because I keep saying, oh, I'm not going to write anymore, but clearly it's a passion if I'm able to just write these books.
Yeah.
But also enjoy my podcast. So right now it's just like wherever the inspiration leads me for that day.
Yeah.
I'm just going to let it and not try to, like, control it in a sense. So, I mean, you can find me on my podcast.
Yeah.
Keeping It Real with Kiara on all streaming platforms. You can find me on my TikTok, mm-hmm. Wild and Out, Kiara Lewis 75. And then, what else do I have? Oh, I'm dropping merch very soon, but that'll be linked to all of my social medias. So cool. You can also find me on my Instagram, Kiara_Lewis1.
Perfect. I love that. That is so awesome. I think that you're going to have some people listening that maybe had never heard of you before and maybe, you know, related to you on some sort of level after listening to you and,
I hope so.
And might want to help you in some way too. I mean, we're a community of young people that want to work in all these different forms of entertainment that you work in. So if you have any like out of the box ideas that you're wanting to make happen, I think that this is the place to share them.
Yeah. Slide in the DMs. That's where you can find me.
Slide in.
Because there's definitely, I'm sure, some things I want to create in the future.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, I hope that we can create more awesome opportunities for you, Kiara. And I hope that we can do more stuff together with you.
This was a vibe. I love
this
it.
This was so fun.
Yeah. We got to do more. I'm here for it.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah. Thank you so much. You did a great job.
You're welcome.
We're going to get you on a stage, whether it be Zany's for like a 5-minute set or something fun soon.
Yeah, we'll do it.
Okay. And that's a wrap. Thank y'all for listening. Thanks to Fifth and Broadway for letting us use their amazing studio space. And thank you to our audio engineer / production extraordinaire, Ryan Sandlin. If any of you guys have a podcast that needs some help, or if you just need someone to work as a producer or engineer in studio, Ryan's your guy. You can reach out to him at Ryan Sandlin on Instagram or ryansandlinmusic@gmail.com. Mamba knows that responsible business and financial management is the key to lasting success. Their team helps new artists gain solid financial footing to launch successful careers and helps industry veterans maintain strong financial foundations. Martin Albee Miller Bryan & Associates is located in East Nashville and has been serving the business and financial needs of the music industry since 1981. For more information, call 615-383-1161 or visit them online at martinalbee.com.